कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन्ना बल्ला गुरु बारा धारी गोपी जन्ना बल्ला गुरु बारा धारी यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कौट वैष्णविंद की जय इस्कॉन फाउंडर चार्ल्स डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल गोज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा नमो विष्णु पाराय कृष्ण परिष्ठाय भूतलाय श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी ते नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी पश्चाचिदे सचारणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10. Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna. Today's number, text number 52 and 53. So, we'll chant 52. The word meaning is Devakya of Devaki, Shayane, on the bed, Nashya, placing, Vasudev, Atadas, Darikam, the female child, Patimucha, binding himself again, Padoloham, iron shackles on the two legs, Aste remained, Puravavat, like before, Avrita, bound. Devakya Shayane Nasya
Devakya Shayane Nasya
Vasudevo Tadarikam
Vasudevo Tadarikam
Pratimuchya Padoloham
Pratimuchya Padoloham
Aste Purvavad Arvita. Devakya Shaini Nyasya. Vasudevo Tadarikam. Satimucha Padur Loham. Aste Purvavad Arvita. Devakya Shaina Shaine Lagnasya Vasudevo Tadarikam Pratimuchya Padur Loham Aste Purvavad Avrita. Ladies. Translation. Vasudev placed the female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. Text number 53. Yasoda nanda patni cha jatam param abhujata natalingam parishtanta nidraya Pagata Smritihi. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were intimate friends, and so were their wives, Yashoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and had now changed into Krishna, whereas Yasoda was not able to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Yasoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the very beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, The inhabitants of Vrindavan, the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the others, were surprised, but they never considered their son Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. In such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This is called Kevala Bhakti and is distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnanamayi Bhakti. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're at the end of a very interesting chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, The Birth of Lord Krishna. Interesting in many ways, and I appreciate so much of the instruction that the different devotees have given over the course of studying these 53 verses for the last several weeks. Chapters are in literary works, chapters serve a function of dividing the work in ways in which make it understandable, sort of taking one subject, building on it, and then coming to a conclusion. And so the chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam are generally like that as well. However, this chapter presents a curious ending, because in the beginning of this chapter, The Birth of Lord Krishna, we get a description of the Lord's appearance before Devaki and Vasudev. And the chapter is filled with many prayers expressing the knowledge that Vasudev and Devaki have of Krishna as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many wonderful descriptions are there. And Prabhupada talks about this in the purport here, where he says that from the very beginning, Devaki knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so the chapter goes like that, building up with so much intricate knowledge of who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is and what's his position in relation to this world, in relation to us. But then at the end of the chapter, it ends with this description of Yashoda, where it says that she didn't understand who Krishna was. She couldn't understand that. Indeed, she was overwhelmed with sleep, and thus unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. It's curious, because you just imagine, and even the pictures are there, the artists have rendered them, with Vasudev and Devaki, they're fully conscious and awake and alert. The Lord has appeared before them and they're offering prayers. And in this way they're understanding his supreme nature. And contrast that with Yashoda. She's lying on the bed, completely exhausted, you know, from giving birth to a child, overcome with sleep and sort of almost in an unconscious state. It's such a contrasting picture that we get. Yet, We hear in Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, "Janma karma cha me divyam," and that's what we think about. I mean, if his birth is transcendental, then we think, well, okay, it's going to be something extraordinary. The Lord appears like that, with four hands, holding club, disc, chunk, lotus, glorified by demigods, flowers raining down from heaven. That's what we think is divyam, or transcendental birth. But the description of the birth of Krishna from Yashoda, she had a hard labor. It says here that exhausted by the labor of childbirth, she was overwhelmed with sleep and couldn't understand what kind of child had been born. Yet that is regarded by our acharyas as a more elevated understanding and appreciation and appearance of the Lord than appearing with four hands majestically before Devaki and Vasudev. So it's a bit curious. How do we understand this? How is that higher? How is that more exalted, more sacred type of an appearance? It's, the birth from Yashoda seems more like what we go through here in this world. So the difference is, and the key to understanding it is given by Srila Prabhupada in this purport, right at the end, his very last words in this chapter. He says that such an exalted status of devotional service, in such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This is called Kevala Bhakti. So Kevala Bhakti, understanding Kevala Bhakti, is the key to understanding how the birth of Lord Krishna to Yashoda is spiritually superior. And of course, that's kind of a difficult concept, spiritually superior. Not really superior, but say different, but spiritually different, but at the same time, more sacred. More sacred. So how is all this to be understood? Well, the Kevala Bhakti is the key to understanding that. And where do we go to understand Kevala Bhakti? Can anybody say where we go to understand Kevala Bhakti? Madan Mohan? That's wrong. No, that's not wrong, obviously. You're right. But there's something closer in time to us as we sit here right now, today, about how we understand Kevala Bhakti than going back. Prabhupada, yes, but what specifically? Sri Guru Charana Padma, we just sang it 20 minutes ago. What is it? Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Satma. So if we don't understand Kevala Bhakti, what is unalloyed or pure devotional service to the Lord, and then we should understand this song that we sing every morning. Because it holds the keys, so many keys to understanding this subject matter, what is pure devotional service to the Lord. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that song that we sing, and some of the meaning that has been described by specifically Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to this bhajan of Narottam Das Thakur. So to do that, I brought a little song book here where we have. So this bhajan, Worship of Sri Guru, is from the Prema Bhakti Chandrika of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, and begins, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. So Sri Guru Charanapadma, the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So let's not skip over, go too quickly here and go to Guru. Let's stay in this first word, Sri, for a minute, because Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Sri means that the Guru is endowed with all potency to deliver his disciples. So he's not an ordinary man in a sense, just like that, but he has certain potencies or facilities given to him. Prabhupada gave the example of the Viceroy of India. The Viceroy of India was essentially basically the King of England in India. He had all the powers of the king in India. His given area where he was deputed to serve and to execute the powers of the king was India. He was the viceroy. He wasn't the king himself, but he had all the potencies, the powers, the ability to rule and minister, just like the king had. And so similarly, the guru is given by Krishna all the different abilities, not just knowledge, but all anything that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can bestow on the living entities. And we know that everything is bestowed on us by the Supreme Lord. All that potency resides in the Guru. So when we say Sri Guru Charanapadma, that Sri is very important because we can't forget about him being endowed with these potencies. So Sri Guru Charanapadma, Padma also is significant. Padma is also significant. And the example given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that like of a bee who's attracted to a lotus flower. There's a certain sweetness which attracts the bee to the lotus flower. And so when this padma is given, it refers to the fact that there is a transcendental sweetness or attraction or mellow that's to be found in serving the spiritual master. It's not an ordinary type of service we find in this world. Service in this world is sort of, it's forced, it's not necessarily pleasant, neither does it really provide us any kind of transcendental realization. But when we say Sri Guru Charanapadma, that the lotus feet of the spiritual master, then we mean the attraction, all the attraction of the spiritual world can be found in service to the Guru. So there's a reciprocation. He's Sri, Guru is Sri, that means all the potencies are there, and Padma means that if we serve the Guru, then there's an exchange of transcendental sweetness that's found there. A loving relationship. Again, service in this world is not characterized by a loving exchange necessarily. But it is found in this relationship between guru and disciple. And that is the key. Sri Guru Charanapadma Kevala Bhakatiya Sadma. Because that is where we'll get the understanding to these curious instances that we find in the Shastra, trying to understand the birth of Lord Krishna and so many of his activities. How do we understand? We have to understand properly, and that's Kevala Bhakti, and that's understood through serving the lotus feet of the Guru. Now, the next line here is Bandhu Mi Sarva Dana Mate. That we should do this service to the Guru with great care and attention. So, great care and attention, why? Why necessarily great care and attention? Because the guru is not obliged to give us transcendental knowledge. The guru is not obliged to like that. That's indicated by this word, yahara prasade bhai, prasad, mercy. Service to the guru is there, and one is hoping for mercy. One can't force or demand that mercy. Not by money, not by strength, not by knowledge, not by any of the material assets that we may gain in life, can we bring God under our control. Can we understand him in that way? Mother Mukhi was reading that passage from Back to Godhead and was explaining there that God is inconceivable. How can we understand him? We can't force our way into the kingdom of God. The only way to get there is by this type of service attitude with great care and attention. By doing that, then we attract the mercy of the Lord, and when he gives that mercy, then we can understand. Then we can understand. So, great care and attention are required in this. Now, if indeed the guru is going to give us transcendental knowledge, knowledge which is different than we ordinarily find in this world, and then it becomes important what the guru says, and that's described in the second verse here, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Akya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in describing this word Vakya, says, what's the difference? This is not, the words of the guru are not necessarily meant to give us knowledge of just this world, the phenomenal exchanges and happenings of the material nature. No, his vakya is meant to give knowledge of the transcendental world. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur specifically says that this word vakya that's mentioned here in the second verse means it's the science of loving relationships in devotion to Krishna. That's what his words describe. That's what his words describe. And if we take those words, then we get transcendental knowledge. Again, not necessarily knowledge of this world. So we say in the English translation, make the teachings from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master one with your heart and do not desire anything else. We say a different translation, don't we? It's purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Attachment to his lotus feet is perfection and fulfills all desires. Yes. So, what are those desires and what is that knowledge coming? It's meant to be transcendental knowledge, just not ordinary knowledge of this world. And that's described in the verse when it says, Sri Guru Charana Rati Ese Uttamagati. Uttamagati means the ultimate destination, the highest destination that's available for us. And that destination, again, is beyond the scope of this material world. It's not meant to be a knowledge just of how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, but actually knowledge of our transcendental relationship with Krishna. Therefore, it says, Chitete Koriya Akya, that we should keep this knowledge within our hearts, and that's where it sits. the knowledge that helps us to understand these curious things in Krishna's birth is meant to affect our heart, not our head. So kevala bhakti is meant to be based on love as opposed to just knowledge. And that's the key, actually, really, in differentiating between understanding Krishna and not understanding Krishna, is love. It has to be done with love. If it's not done with love, then we don't come to the right conclusion. So in the third verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues to explain that Chakshu Dana Dilo Ye. He forces open my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. What is it? He who has given me the gift of transcendental vision is my Lord birth after birth. So that transcendental vision is similar to what Krishna gave Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. He gave him Divya Drishti, the eyes, the transcendental eyes, to see the reality. And so our eyes fool us. We want to see God, we want to judge things by our sight. But we get a different view of things when we have transcendental knowledge behind that sight. And so Chakshu Dana Dilo Je, by our eyes being opened by the Supreme Lord, we get a vision by which we can understand things as they really are. And that is described in the next line that says, Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. Divya Gyan means, again, knowledge, which knowledge of how to worship Krishna, how to worship him in transcendental love. And that's what Yashoda was actually doing. The labor, the childbirth, which exhausted her and overcame her with sleep, was actually her service to the Supreme Lord. And by rendering that service, she pleased Krishna. She pleased Krishna by doing that. And so that type of vision, that gyan, which is sees the labor of child bearing as service to Krishna, is only possible when we understand the love that that act expressed between Krishna and Yashoda. So, Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. That knowledge is awakened in our heart. And so, there's one other part of that third verse, Janame Janame Prabhu Se. That birth after birth, we want this type of knowledge to happen to us. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this janame janame means that two things. One, that the guru has the ability to engage the disciple in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and that that service is beyond, by being birth after birth, it's indicating that it's beyond just this world of illusion, of birth and death, but is eternal in its nature. And so that's another characteristic of this Divya Gyan. It's eternal in its nature. So these are all characteristics of Kevala Bhakti, pure devotional service to the Lord. And when we understand things in that way, rather than relying on our, what did that section she read from Gita say, mental gymnastics. Rather than relying on our own mental gymnastics, but rather on hearing transcendental sound vibration, we can get actual knowledge of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he takes his birth in this material world, how that's not an ordinary birth, and how by loving him, we can get out of this material world, as described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chamejibhyam, Evam Yobeti Tatvata, Tatva Deham Panarjama Naitimam Eti Sorjana. If we understand like this, then we ourselves aren't obligated to take birth after birth in this world. But we can go back home, back to Godhead, the eternal abode of the Lord, and engage in a loving relationship with him there. So these are some concluding thoughts on this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Are there any comments or questions anyone has? Yes?
Thank you for one class as usual. And some questions do come to mind because, first of all, I don't know if anybody remembers that character. Forget her. On Saturday Night Live, Roseanne Adana, but I sometimes do that because Shri is meaning feminine, or am I thinking of Stri, which is the word that means expansion, a woman expands? Is that Stri? Okay, because I'm, you know, when I was hearing Shri, and Shri, my guru, Maharaj Bhakti, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, your good friend, had required of a lot of his disciples before taking initiation to read Sridhar Swami, Sri Guru and His Grace, the wonderful book, Sri Guru and His Grace. So I was, first of all, wondering if it was related to feminine nature, or if it was considered part of the feminine nature.
Sri?
Yes.
Well, Sri, or the potencies or opulences of the Lord, are personified. And it's a feminine characteristic and potencies. Of course, the Lord has so many different potencies. You can't just limit them by saying that they're all feminine potencies, but yes, that's
right
there.
So, but I probably was thinking of the word street. So, okay. But the other question, I'll leave a little riskier. I'm hoping I'm coming from the right place. I'm certainly in this sincere. But Devaki Mataji, is it possible that we couldn't consider, I mean, she's a pure devotee, obviously, but she couldn't be considered like Kanista Alikarya, because I'm wondering how it is that why Krishna would require of her, of Yashoda, the hard labor of birth, etc., and relieve Devaki of this sort of thing. So I wondered whether it was because of her position, perhaps, as...
Well, it's more different than, as I said, is when you get into these subjects, trying to understand them, you know, and we try to compare them to each other, and we're going to say one is above or better. But those are difficult kind of subjects. Not different, let's say. It's a different relationship she had with Krishna.
Well,
Krishna was displaying different relationships.
Because I'm recalling that Mother Lakshmi was not allowed to attend the Ras dance because of her mood. You know, so again, I'm wondering, is there any relationship? Is that...
Well, I think that it's a difference in... Kevala Bhakti means unalloyed devotional service. Unalloyed devotional service means pure love. So relationships which are based on pure exchange of love, without any hint of majesty or grandeur or awe and things like that. Now those, there are relationships with Krishna based on majesty, grandeur and awe, and everything is in a continuum from one to the other. So but again, just for a comparative understanding, this description is there. Not that there was something wrong with Devaki's realization of the Supreme Lord. It's just that a more complete realization of the Supreme Lord was experienced by Yashoda.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Anything else anyone has? Yes.
I just want to thank you for presenting that dilemma.
I so appreciate how you presented these things and actually made us think about how a condition of sleep and unawareness manifested by Yashoda Mayi could be greater. It was astonishing. And I just thought how that one pastime where Jyotila and Kutila heard that, the most chaste lady will be able to carry, what is it, water in a sieve? Oh, I'll be able to do it. We're so pure. They couldn't do it, but Srimati Radharani could do it. Although they were thinking, oh, she's always with that black snake. You know, so our perception of things isn't always so very accurate. And I just really appreciate the way you brought that out.
Thank you. Anything else? Kuntarashi Madhbhagavatam ki jai.